This is episode 72, Child Size Earplugs.
Recorded in cricket season, New Hampshire. It didn't feel right.
Is cricket season a place?
Cricket season, during cricket season in New Hampshire. Recorded during cricket.
Recorded at the peak of cricket season. God, that's hard to say.
Recorded at the peak of cricket season. It sounds like is that country music station my mom used to listen to? It was like from the peak of Mount Washington. They had a broadcast tower up there.
I don't know about that.
Yeah,
I haven't lived here long enough.
From the peak of cricket season, it's the tone control.
All that's staying
in, yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'll just leave it all together. That's fine.
It's cricket season, that's all.
Yeah, it's cricket. Hey, everybody. It's cricket season. Oh, shoot. Hold on, I have to get something.
Well. All right, I guess I'll hold on.
And by the miracle of time travel...
Sorry, I had my volume down. What's up? Oh,
I said, and by the miracle of time travel, I've returned.
Oh.
I'm assuming I'm going to edit that so that I don't... take any time to grab the thing.
Somebody got a new phone, huh?
Yeah, I was just went to plug in the robot and realized I don't have a headphone jack. So I had to go get my adapter. There we go.
Neat. How do you like it?
It's great. It does what it's supposed to do.
Yep.
It's kind of weird that it doesn't have a home button.
Yeah, we went to see them over the weekend, and it felt pretty good. I have the 6S, which has had the 3D touch.
Yeah,
so I'm like kind of used to that, like pushing into the phone a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So it felt good to me, though.
Yeah, and you can change like how much feedback you get out of it too.
Oh, really?
So, yeah,
that's cool. Nice.
It's pretty good. It feels almost like the whole phone, like it feels like the whole phone's a MacBook trackpad clicking, but it's not clicking at all. Like if you try to do it with your fingernail, you get nowhere.
I actually haven't had a MacBook since they introduced that, so I don't even know what that feels like.
Well, I mean, mine's the old one, but it still feels basically the same.
I have the big trackpad.
Yeah, but it clicks, right?
The feet click, technically, but yeah.
Anyway, okay. Well, this is guitar related.
Yep. Well, it kind of is. If you look down in the notes, we will be talking about some of this stuff later.
Mm, yeah. So anyway.
Anyway, does it feel like it's been a long time since we recorded?
Kind of, but I've had a long week.
Maybe that's just the case with me because I almost looked at a calendar to see if we really screwed it up again, but.
No, I'm pretty certain we didn't.
I think we're good. Yeah. All right.
But I had last Thursday, I guess,
MacBook apocalypse.
Yeah, my MacBook just straight up died, and it started rebooting, and it started rebooting more and more quickly. You know, I got like another half hour out of it. And then the next time I only got like 10 minutes and pretty soon I was like, okay, shoot.
It's like having a sneeze attack.
Yeah. Well, anyway, they brought it in. Thankfully it failed the first test. They gave it right on the bench. I didn't have to, they have like more intensive diagnostics that can run, that can take up to 48 hours to figure out if something's wrong with the hardware. But he was like, well, let's see what's going on with it. And I thought it was, graphics chip related, just because of what the error message was saying, the error log. And so he was like, let's try the VGA probe, and just blink, failed. He's like, oh, well, this needs a whole new board because it's a MacBook Pro and they're only one part essentially. So,
anyway. Wow. Well, you're back up and running now.
Yeah, flat fee, $310.
Not bad.
To repair anything on a MacBook Pro. I mean, that's really, I thought it was going to be worse than that, but.
It's certainly cheaper than a new MacBook. So,
yeah, the thing is, like, there hasn't really been an update to it besides like the typical little processor bumps and stuff. So,
yeah,
it didn't feel any different than mine. I was like, this is not worth $2,000.
With the recent Apple announcement and stuff, I was kind of reading some of the blogs surrounding all that, and they were all kind of like, well, there goes another update with no MacBook attention. And it's kind of the MacBook Pro, I guess, is this like becoming this notoriously long update cycle.
What about the Mac Pro before that? Everybody said, oh, the Mac Pro is never going to get an update again. And you know, it did. Whatever.
Whatever.
Anyway. The thing is, it doesn't. The new one doesn't feel any different because it's still a great computer, and I'm fine. I'm perfectly happy where I am.
Right. Yeah, it works.
Yeah.
Does what you need it to do. Hey, we bought Apple Watches, and they'll be here in like a million weeks.
Cool. Those are fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I've had a smartwatch for a while now, and I do like having one. I like not being able to, or I like to not have to constantly check my phone if a thing buzzes. Knowing I can just ignore it or dismiss it is nice, like while driving or just kind of, especially when I'm doing weddings and stuff like that, and phone's like in some pouch on some bag that's attached to my body, it's easy to just look at your watch. And mine was kind of buggy and sort of low-tech, first-gen Pebble sort of thing, so time for an upgrade. Anyway, what are we even talking about?
We're talking about our electronic devices.
Yeah.
So, hey, while we're thinking about it, though, why don't we pick an accent?
Because I was just going to say that.
I've got a new thing, which gives me the opportunity here. So let's see.
Oh, is that what we do? Are we going to update the accent every time you get a new phone?
Maybe. So we were on Australian before, right?
Yeah.
So essentially, if I wanted to speak English, it's got to be American, Australian, or British. They've really kind of simplified the whole situation in iOS 10. So I guess I'll switch it to British.
I'm Siri, your virtual assistant.
Oh. All right. Yeah. Let's try that on for size.
Okay. It says it's downloading.
Oh.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll just say...
See how it goes.
Thank you, Pedal Genie, for sponsoring yet another episode of The Tone Control. Bing, bing, bing. I am a robot. Yeah. Okay.
And fuck off.
Hopefully it will download the voice before we get to the middle of the show.
Right. Oh, shoot. Yeah. So, cool. All right. Should we get going?
Yeah, let's do.
Oh, hey. So I play a video game called Destiny a lot, and I'm in a clan. That's a thing in video games sometimes, including Destiny. And someone in our clan also plays guitar, and I just sort of was like, hey, can I like shamelessly promote my podcast here? And so I did, and they were like, whoa, no way. That's super cool. I'm going to start listening. And I was like, great. We're recording number 72 this week. And then a few hours later, he sends me a message like, hey, you know, for your first episode, it was pretty great. And I was like, are you starting from the beginning?
You've made a mistake.
Like, and he's like, yeah, you know, you got to get in on all those inside jokes. So if and when he catches up, this is the message.
Okay.
Hello, clanmate. You got 71 to go, as far as I know. So, anyway, cool.
I too play some online games. Am known to play some and interact with people. And the times when conversation has strayed to IRL, and I've mentioned like what I do, it's met with stubborn disbelief.
Mine is met with, oh, I want to do that. Yeah. Or actually, yeah, all kinds of stuff. Oh, you work from home? Lucky.
Yeah, it was like, I'm an audio engineer. I record music and stuff. No, you don't.
Professionals do that.
That's like, girls don't play video games. Shut up. You're not a girl. You know?
Oh, man.
It's that sort of reaction. So anyway, I was like, okay, fine. I don't want to talk to you anyway.
Yeah. Oh, well. Okay.
I think it kind of comes from... Sorry, I'm still talking about this. I think it comes from the idea that some people have when they're not at all involved with music. They'll have this kind of glamorous, untouchable idea of like, If I say that I record music, that means I hang out with Jay-Z every day. You know, and they're like, oh, obviously you're lying. You're not a famous person.
Yeah, a famous person couldn't have other interests and hobbies. Yeah.
It's like when you tell somebody you're in a band and they say, what songs do you play? Because they don't know you could be in an original band. That concept doesn't dawn on them.
That's the hardest conversation to have. Yeah. And, you know, I had to explain it to, I think, a family member of mine once that, like, oh, we play our own songs. And they're like, well, kind of just, it's not really landing. And I was like, well, you know the songs that, like, you might see a band do at a bar or something? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Someone else had to write those. And they were like, oh, it, like, completely just struck, like, you're totally right. I never thought of it that way. Yep. And it's like complete, that's step zero for you and me, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, it's like the time at work somebody asked me, oh, how's the band going? I was like, oh, you know, this was like years ago. Hmm. Oh, it's going good. Yeah, you know, gig this weekend or whatever, you know, bullshit. And he's like, hey, let me ask you. Why don't you ever just go for it?
Oh, my God, you're right. And I'm going to do it. Oh, tomorrow I'll be famous.
I was in this shitty office job all this time. Like, well, it's not that easy, buddy. Anyways.
All right. So
for real this time.
For real. There's a here. Hey, let's do a podcast. Mm-hmm.
Feels good, man.
So this thing still says 0% complete. I don't know what's going on over here. All right. Hopefully I'll just be able to flip it back to American and have it read.
Mm. Anyway. Okay. Anyway, new from TC Electronic.
The Tonal Titan. What does that mean?
That's the headline. Oh. The pedal is the Mimic Doubler.
Oh. It's the headline's written bigger, I thought, for sure. Yeah. Okay, the Mimic
Doubler.
It's also
not written on the pedals. Anyway.
I wasn't looking at the pedal. Never mind. You're trying to make me look stupid.
I like that there's no U-E after the Q in this, and it's not spelled like the word Mimic is actually spelled. I want to kind of pronounce it differently, but I really can't, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
Mimic.
It's like a k.
Mimic. M-I-M-I-Q.
Wow.
So what this does is it adds extra layers on top of your guitar tone, just as you would in the studio. So when you record songs in the studio, you will usually double, triple, quadruple your guitar tracks. Mm-hmm. This pedal does that for you live.
Wow. Okay. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you can, on top of your original signal, you can add one, two, or three extra layers. So you can have a double, two, three, or four guitars total playing.
Yeah. Right. There original is plus up to three doubles.
Right. The tightness control adjusts how much variation there is between those layers. So if it's all the way up, it's extremely tight, extremely mm-hmm. precise. You're really just spot on with your original dry. If you kind of loosen that up, the time in between each layer will start to fluctuate a little bit to kind of get a little more, I guess, organic sound, a little less robotic sounding of the truly like accurate double.
Yeah.
There's an effect level, which is basically just a mix control. Dry level lets you make sure your dry signal is still present. Because you could just have your double and then nothing else, which would kind of be weird. Right. There's stereo in and out, and there's three modes. Mode one is one guitar to each amp. So this is if you're running a stereo rig.
Are these in like dip switches or something? Or is this on the switch? There's a switch that says one, two, and three. I assume that was how many doubles, though.
That's how many dubs, yeah. The stereo ins and outs, though, depending on how you have your cables arranged and possibly on the inside, I'm not actually sure.
Okay, might probably have an internal switch.
Anyway, mode one is one guitar to each amp. Mm-hmm. Mode two is wet on the left and right, dry in the middle.
Right, yep.
And then mode three is two guitars on each side.
Mm-hmm.
What were you going to say?
I was gonna. I've been kind of skimming while you're talking, trying to figure out if they describe anywhere here what, how exactly it's doing it, because the methods for, you know, altering the signal enough to make it seem like a double, while keeping it sounding real, are difficult. I mean, basically, you want to move things slightly out of time, just mm-hmm. slightly, and then usually you'll want to vary the pitch a little bit too. But the trick is always, if you're doing this on a constant oscillator, then it's essentially a chorus pedal.
It'll make a pattern.
Right, and, it'll make a pattern, yeah. And that sounds more like an effect that you're used to and less like a real double.
Right.
So there must be, you know, I'm assuming that there's going to be some kind of algorithm in here that's going to have a more human-like, more real-sounding variation.
Yeah. So when you should watch the video demo on this, because certain modes, when they click it on, it was like, boom, oh God, it's a chorus pedal. It just sounded like, okay. Hey, here's some chorus.
Yeah.
But it was kind of like a what your ears are acclimated to kind of issue, I think. Because okay. Then there were other modes where it didn't sound like that at all. And mm-hmm. it was just kind of the comparison sounded more chorus-like, even though it wasn't really a chorus.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's probably using some chorus pedal-based technology. I'm sure that's where they had to start with this thing.
I think that the trick is in how the timing and pitch differences are moving. You know, that they're yeah. not just sweeping up and down in a constant pattern will make it more
right
more
because
real
it's
sounding.
They kind of explain this in the video, and I was actually going to ask you to clarify for people who might not know, but the subtle, when you double a guitar track, it's the really subtle, minute differences in pick attack, fretting position, like the subtle differences in pitch that make that doubled track seem even huger than just one or one that's copied and pasted. But can you explain for the viewers at home?
Well,
like I mean, why one would double and like it's a pretty standard practice, right?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. Well, you double to make it bigger or at least to be able to pan guitars out. To the sides, like in rock music, for a lot of the stuff that, for a lot of mixes, for most of the time, I'm going to want guitars on both sides
yeah.
to make the mix very wide and the guitars powerful and big. Now, if I just took a copy of the one guitar part and, you know, I make a copy, so now I've got two of the exact same thing and pan them out to the sides, that's the same as one guitar in mono because it's exactly the same mm-hmm. waveform. If you perform it again, if you perform it twice, even though you played the same thing, that's two different parts. And you can play them, you know, you want to play them as tight as possible to make it sound together. But
yeah.
it's two different things. So the trick then in doing that, and yeah, it's the differences. It's because it's not exactly the same waveform. I mean, it's impossible to play exactly the
right.
same thing precisely as a human being. I mean, I would dare say even like one of those robot guitar machine things with the robot
well,
arms
it's got
that
to
plays
do with
guitar.
Like, isn't it like how it comes out of the speaker is even different? Like there's things that are outside
I mean,
of your
the
control.
Differences are so slight. That's what I mean is like even if you had one of those robots playing yeah. the guitar, you know, even if it ran the same program twice, mm-hmm. there are physical variations in reality. I mean, the string would vibrate just a little bit differently.
Right.
Air is just in a little bit different spot. So, but
and it's those subtle differences that make the effect of yeah, a doubled guitar track.
They make it, it reveals to our ears that it's two separate things playing. And it's
right.
the timing and the pitch differences. It's the way our brains decode it. I guess that's probably what you're trying to get me to say, right? It's the way
I guess
our
so,
brains
yeah.
decode it. The way we think we hear stereo, there's several different ways we can differentiate that there'd be two different things. Pitch differences, timing differences is how we can, one of the ways that we can localize something. We can decide if a sound is coming from the left or the right mm-hmm. because of how long it takes to hit, you know, between when it hits our left ear and by the time the sound makes it around to our right ear. Then there's also, there's going to be a frequency shift. If a sound hits you on the left side of your head, by the time that sound wave wraps around and hits you on your other side of your head, it's your head has absorbed some of the frequency spectrum and it's mm-hmm. changed it slightly. And so your brain picks up on that. That's another way that we, you know, another factor that goes into localizing a sound. And then again, we'll have reverberations and stuff from the other side of the room. So you can use that to try to tell which mm-hmm. way a sound is coming from. So all that, those things we can use as tricks in the studio or in a pedal to make something sound like it's two things. By yeah. creating these shifts, shifts in pitch and time, your ear will hear, oh, that's two different performances of the same note. And it will make your brain think that there's two there, as long as it's done well enough, which it can right. be. I mean, it's not that it has to just be a chorus pedal. Waves makes a plugin called Real ADT, which I guess is automatic double track, but it's R-E-E-L, and they're mm-hmm. it's part yeah. of this Abbey Road collection they do. So it's supposed to be a plugin version of like the John Lennon vocal,
mm-hmm.
where they would dub a vocal track onto another tape machine and apparently with their hand physically resist the spinning of the tape machine a little bit to cause pitch and time variations mm-hmm. in one of the vocals. And so this plugin simulates that by like without it just being a constant curve. You can set it to be a constant LFO, but you can
kind of randomizes.
Make it more randomized and then it sounds yeah. much... It's actually pretty convincing. It's
cool.
Something I tried once. But
so... I just wanted to like go over that quickly because it might not really stick with some people that on a record you're hearing more than one guitar, even if there's two guitarists, like they're not playing just a single track. And yeah. kind of, I feel
if
like
you can
I knew
hear
that,
it out
but,
to the sides, if you put your headphones yeah. on, you hear it out to the sides, that's what you're hearing. It had to be performed twice or at the very least have some kind of effect like this to try to make it seem right. like it was performed twice.
Right. Cause, and when I did the first real recording with you and we doubled stuff, it was like, oh of course we do that. Like it never like occurred to me that it was a thing.
You'd start hearing it on every record after that.
But now it's like, then we did it and it was like, oh, now it sounds real.
Yeah.
You know, even though at band practice, you can't do that, or you couldn't until now, I guess. So anyway, this is the standard TC electronic pedal size, like all their tone print pedals, although this one is not tone print because I'm not really sure how you would tone print something like this. There are three knobs and it's true bypass. And I think it's out now. If not, it's coming out real soon.
Stereo in and out, which you already said. Anyway. Yep. Yeah. Pretty
get
cool.
A price.
Pretty
can
cool.
Can we get a price?
It's TC. It's probably $100.
got a blog post about it.
Hold on, I'll get you there. Oh, I don't know if it's available.
Sweetwater
yet.
Doesn't have it yet.
They've just got a blog post about it. Yeah. I don't think it's out yet.
Might not be out yet. I'm going to guess 129.
129? Well, you're probably closest without going over. Actually, I'm probably closest without going over. It's probably 125.
I guess 129 because I think TC is one of those nine companies, not like a $124.99 kind of company.
Yeah.
But anyway.
That's right. Okay. Hey,
you're
going
to like this next
one. What's up next? B-Tronix FX.
This got sent in today.
Oh.
By friend of the show, Ryan.
I don't think the tone control email alerts are working yet on my new phone. Not that it would have
oh, no,
paid attention.
he sent me a Facebook message with this.
Oh.
Yep.
Even better.
Even better. Anyway, B-Tronix. He said, look at these pedals. Don't they look awesome? And I said, you're damn right they do.
Are they for real with this PCB in here?
They are for real. They're cool.
Unbelievable. Okay, so for the listener at home, the PCB in this thing is like a, it's like
a, it's
in
a
the
B
shape of a B with the wings outstretched.
Yeah.
They are obviously, their target audience is somebody who wants to open up their pedal, I guess.
It's great. I love
so
it.
What's all right? So I've got three. Looks like I got three different pedals here. No, I've got two different pedals and then their main page.
There's a third one coming soon, but we're not covering that today.
Okay.
The two pedals we're covering are the Octahive and the, what do you want to call this? the Hwaktahel?
Hwaktahel. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how else to say it.
Okay. Let's do the Octahive first. This is the one that Ryan sent me first. First of all, these pedals are reliced and they look killer. I think they did a great job on these.
This looks like it's straight out of Fallout.
Oh, it totally does.
It's really neat.
I'm going to skip to the end of these notes for a quick second. They do all these relic jobs by hand, so they're all kind of unique and different. Mm-hmm. And you can do, of these two circuits that they make, you can custom order a case for it from them. So you can say, I want the Octahive in this color finish with these style knobs and like this sort of graphic treatment. You can totally customize the outside, or you can like do any sort of collaboration with them. You could say like, I want it, you know, bright red, but like with a racing stripe that's scuffed up, but I don't care what knobs are on it, you know, all that kind of stuff. Huh. I think these look really great. Anyway, back to the top. The Octahive is a super high gain fuzz with a well-pronounced high pitch octave.
Cool.
Perfect. Say no more.
Oh, it looks like they have a ton of different pedals on here, but it's because they're listing all these ones that they made. So it seems like they're there at the shop. Well, I got to make a case for this one, and I'll make one Rasta colored. Oh, here it is. The Rasta colored one was sold.
Right. So like some guitar stores I've seen will do a custom run of a color scheme.
Yeah.
Or you can just order your own. Mm-hmm. So anyway, 70 style fuzz with an octave up. An all analog octave up. So it's controlled by, the octave up is controlled by a toggle switch, which is on the side of the pedal. So you've got a bypass switch for the fuzz and then like a mini toggle type switch on the side for the octave. If the LED is red, your octave is on. If your LED is blue, your octave is off.
Right.
This thing sounds really, really cool. It's easy to achieve Hendrix style tones.
And they've got like a big old
tones.
Jewel in the front of it too.
Yeah, it's like an amp jewel.
Yeah.
It's like kind of an opaque white too, which is, I haven't seen anything like that before. Hmm. Easy to achieve Hendrix style tones. With certain settings they demoed, you can even get like weird ring modulator type stuff. It is fairly chord friendly. Some of these can get really out of control, but this, it does seem like they've really dialed in a lot of these.
I can see on their PCB that they have a transformer in here, so I'm assuming that's what's generating the octave. That's the same way it's done in the octave fuzz that I have here. A kit. That produces it doesn't need to track. You know, it's all analog.
Yeah.
It's just cutting the waveform in half and flipping it over and then re-rectifying it. So, it's...
Which gets that, like, shrill, like, splatty, tinny
it
sound.
It sounds real broken.
Oh, it's so cool, though. It's kind of synthy, too, almost.
It can be, yeah.
Always... the best on the neck pickup above the 12th fret, mm-hmm. I've noticed.
It like, works that's really good really up top.
The most pronounced, the pre knob controls the input level, the honey controls the gain, and the volume controls the output.
Okay, honey, yep. Mm-hmm. I'm on board.
Yep, pedal's $230. If you want a custom case for it, it's another $50, which I think is, you know, if you're going to be throwing down cash like that.
Say the price again, sorry?
$230 for the standard issue. And then $230
gets me this blue one that I'm looking at.
Which it does really look Fallout.
Oh, it's this is, yeah.
It's like this, I'd be happy with that. Seafoam kind of Daphne blue.
Yeah, I'll
you know what it is too. It's the really cool raised badge they have on it. Mm-hmm. The Beatronics badge,
the metal.
Yeah, metal. And the switch. The thing that's holding the switch is gnarly.
Yeah, the lock washer is like, it's.
It's
it
huge.
Looks like galvanized aluminum. It's, anyway.
Really good. It's great relic job. There's like rust showing through. Anyway, okay. Now onto the other one, the Hawk to Hell.
The Hawk to Hell. So this, I guess, is going to go the other way.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a digital. This one's got chips in it. This is a low octave fuzz.
Check out the PCB on this guy, though. It's a different design.
Oh, it's like a honeycomb.
It's a honeycomb style. Mm-hmm. Very cool. This is a low octave, sub octave fuzz / overdrive. They kind of categorize this as overdrive as well. So maybe a little lower gain fuzz. A square wave, low octave.
Oh, gnarly.
Yeah. Okay. So it sounds very quote unquote 8-bit, even though that's not really what's happening.
But that'll be synthy. Yeah, it'll sound very Nintendo.
Very synthy sounding. I watched the demos for both of these earlier today, and it was just like, It's so cool. Mm-hmm. So one of the demos was like, you can do this sound, and you can play the Mario theme and become a YouTube star.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, when you think of, oh, I want that 8-bit sound, you're not thinking of an effect that actually reduces the bit depth, because all that does is create noise. And, you know, people don't realize you, because you're saying 8-bit, and what you're meaning is I want to sound like an old video game or a Game Boy or something. Yeah. And that has nothing to do with bit depth. It was just the waveforms that they were using for their synthesis. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Anyway.
This has an octave down or two octaves down. One or two octaves down. Yes. Two or one. One or two.
Why do I see three on the... knob.
I think that's just the knob chosen for this particular
knob
build.
Said 1, 2, and 3 on it.
Yeah. Selectable via toggle switch. So
is that
one of these? One of these must be a rotary dial.
Okay. Well, all right. So what I see though is a toggle switch, and then I see a knob on the side and two knobs on the front.
Yeah. So one of them is. One of them
I bet
must
that
be,
switch is the octave 1, 2, and 3. It's probably a three-way toggle, or off one and two.
Well, there is a separate bypass switch for the octave down, so off would be redundant.
All right. Well, then it only has to be a two-way switch.
There's a mini toggle right on the front of this thing.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but then what's the? You're saying the three-way rotary though.
Well, I'm not convinced that that could be a three-way rotary. Or it could be just a knob. I don't know what it is.
I think that's a standard pot, and they just put a funny knob on it. And then the other one must be like a level or a drive control, and then the one on the side is the other remaining control.
There's another control for some reason.
It's not even hooked up to anything, but that's where the tone is.
It sure looks like it's hooked up to something. I can't see under the honeycomb. What's it hooked up to? Here we go. So master volume is the knob on the side. The big knob that has a 1, 2, and 3 on it is hell. Sets the volume for the overdrive / fuzz tone.
That must just be a regular knob then.
Yeah. The huacta is a typical model is a chicken head knob. Sets the volume for the octave tone. So it's an octave mix. And then, the selector is two-way, so one octave down or two octaves down, and then there are two bypass switches, one for the octave and one for the pedal.
I'm glad they did a second foot switch on this one.
Yeah.
Sounds totally cool. And same deal, they'll do really awesome custom paint jobs on this stuff. This one's red. Looks very Nuka-Cola.
Oh, God. It's so Fallout.
It is. They got to be drawing some pretty hardcore inspiration from that. Same price, $230 or $280 if you want a custom case.
Yep. Cool.
Just do not forget, it is a beast.
Yeah,
good luck.
It's designer pedals. It's not, obviously, it's not for the small pocketbook, but
yeah,
you know, you get what you pay for. I'm sure
they're also working on the Tuna Fuzz.
Tuna Fuzz?
Despite of its small, this is a... Okay.
somebody needs a copy editor.
This is a serious fuzz machine. Catch a tuna.
So it's got one knob. It's like a mini pedal?
Yeah, I guess so. One knob, one switch. We can't go into a page on that, so...
Mm-hmm. I got
But anyway, you. Very cool. I'm looking at this blue one. They really nailed that blue.
One of them, the brown with all the paint missing... It's pretty good. Rust. Custom rust. Out of stock.
Cool. Hey.
Pretty
neat.
Anyway,
Beatronix effects. Thanks, Ryan, for sending that in.
Pretty neat. I like it.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's time for Pedal Genie, and Siri still says it's at 0. I'm going to flip it back to
him. I'm Siri, your virtual assistant.
There we go. It's American now. It's also not that loud. That's all right. I'll boost it up in post. It may be that I needed to turn her up before I plugged her in. Okay, let's see here. So, hold on. I'm just selecting the text. I guess we're not pretending anymore what this is. I have...
We're doing it live.
Siri reads this off my phone every week. Because I think that's funnier than just dropping the audio in post. So anyway, American accent this time. Good luck.
Pedal Genie is like the Netflix of guitar pedals. Rent the pedal you want for as long as you want, for one low monthly price. Shipping is included and there are no late fees or time limits. With over 1,500 pedals to try from nearly 100 different manufacturers, Pedal Genie definitely has the gear you want to try. Subscriptions start with Flex at just $19.95 a month. Try out one pedal at a time for as long as you want. Send it back when you're ready for the next one, for only $39.95 a month. The standard subscription includes shipping, so you could have a different pedal every few days. If one isn't enough for you, Pedal Genie Pro gets you 3 pedals at a time for only $64.95 a month. Shipping included. There's a subscription for everyone and best of all, your first month is free. If you find the pedal of your dreams, the one you just have to keep, Pedal Genie will offer you a buyout option. Prices vary with the length of your membership and the type of pedal, but you'll definitely get an awesome price for the pedal in your hand. So head to pedalgenie.com to fill out your wish list with pedals, and they'll send out your first pedal ASAP. Pedal Genie, all your pedal wishes granted.
I didn't.
You know, I got
that.
All of it though.
Yeah, I decided to let her go. So
it's got a real like cadence.
The old version. There's like there was a setting that I adjusted before because I found that when it was reading out of the Notes app, it would just read so slow. So I had to crank it way up.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Holy cow. Where's...
That's funny.
Accessibility.
So I'm having one of those moments right now.
Yeah.
Where it's after dark here, and you've been in our neighborhood. There's mm-hmm. people outside mowing the lawn,
yeah.
playing with the dog, whatever.
Sure.
And like people come home from work and they chit chat with the neighbors and stuff, but there's like still people outside talking and they've been there for hours.
Hmm.
They're just like, got this like
having an outside party.
I don't know where they are. And they very well could be the street behind us, like in their yard, but it's just cutting right through into my office right now.
Hmm.
And I've got this like, what are you doing? Kind of attitude about it.
Like they're not allowed to be there talking.
Like it's 8:02. Go inside. You know, like, it's, and it's totally irrational. There's like really no reason for me to think that. Anyway, did you have a pedal?
You're such
this week?
A curmudgeon. I did. Yeah, I actually I just dug
my lawn.
I did have a pedal, and I just dug it out this afternoon because I knew we were recording, and I hadn't opened it yet. I've held
on to this
up.
One for a unreasonable amount of time because I didn't want to like be in between pedals for recording. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. I'm here. So I announced last episode that I was getting the Death by Audio reverberation machine.
Oh, yeah.
Which I did not share a link for you yet. Let me look that up.
I can just look it up.
We'll copy this into the notes.
I got it here.
We'll use their website. Hold on. I'm copying this into the notes, everybody, so that you'll have it.
You know, if you took this pedal, or at least the design, the artwork design from Death by Audio and then reliced it, you'd have Fallout style pedals as well.
Yeah, that's true. Because there's this kind of space age
look space
to
race
the,
sort
to
of
the
look,
tech,
yeah.
right? Anyway, so the Death by Audio reverberation machine is it's a reverb pedal, obvi. It's so their site talks about like how it's a synthetic atmosphere creator and how you can get all kinds of different kinds of reverbs and sounds out of it from spring sounds to big halls and all this other stuff. And I find that description to be wholly inaccurate.
Amp verb, playing in a cave, large concert halls, and spaceships being sucked into wormholes.
I will agree with this can sound kind of like amp verb. Kind of a weird amp verb, and it can sound like spaceships being sucked into wormholes. I don't
but
think
nothing in between.
I don't think it can sound like a real space at all. Mm. it's okay. It's a fairly simple. Like you've got a volume knob, you've got a reverb knob, which goes up to 125%.
Because fuck you.
Because they just want to make it a little bit intense, and then there's this altitude knob,
and, which goes from 0 to 30 for some reason.
Yeah, well, it's. As you turn it up, it changes, as they describe, it changes the gain structure of both the reverb and the dry signal that are passing through it. So it makes them bigger, louder, kind of grittier, dirtier. Mm-hmm. There's amplifier stages in this. It can distort kind of a little bit, and it sounds pretty cool that way.
Cool.
There is some modulation in the reverb. There also seems to be a kind of a pre-delay, which might get bigger with the altitude. I couldn't quite tell, but there's a pre-delay, and there also sounds to me like there are other, like, delay taps in here. Like, there are kind of some slaps and some repeats that are kind of mixed in with the reverb. It's a really neat sound, but it is not the kind of versatile room simulator that they're talking about here. That makes no sense to me hearing the pedal. I think it sounds like a crazy, modulated, very spooky, murky-sounding spring reverb. It has this switch that changes essentially between light and dark mode, bright and dark. You know, for the return, you know, does just what it says. It gets the dark side is really dark, and the light side is about what you'd expect from a spring reverb. The modulation is pretty present. So when you're using this with the reverb mixed high, you hear a lot of swirly kind of odd sounding, you know, pitch shifting and stuff like
that. There's no way to dial it.
Oh, no, no, that is not controllable. I mean, that's why it's like, you can't make this thing sound like a room. Like, what are you talking about? Like, that makes no sense the way they've described it. I think it's a really cool sound and it responds very dynamically. I was having fun playing pretty quiet and then striking a loud chord occasionally and having that kind of slap around and echo and modulate underneath, you know, the quieter notes. It seems to do a good job. And I think it's to do with whatever's happening with this altitude knob in the way it, you know, it structures the gain, the way it amplifies things kind of, it feels amp-like in that way. It's, you know, compressing and distorting a bit in a pretty usable, you know, pretty musical way. I dig it. But it's not, you know, it has a
it's
sound.
Just a poor
like, it sounds like this
it.
Pedal, yeah. There's nothing clean about it. It's gritty and it does stuff to the sound. you know, you're not just gonna put a touch of reverb on something. I mean, if you dial this way down, you'll get that kind of touch of reverb sound, but it's still gonna have kind of the other bits of it that are there. I like a little modulation on the reverb. This is kind of a bit much.
Especially without a mix control or something.
The modulation is a bit much to have as an always on. It's definitely makes you sound spooky and murky.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
It's pretty cool though.
Cool.
Just a weird description.
Stuff.
Weird. How much do they want for this thing?
I don't know.
Order now. I'm going to click on the order now button, see what happens. $225 from their store.
Seems about right.
Yeah.
Reverbs are among the expensive types of pedal.
Yeah. It does look like it just looks so space age. Yeah, it's a pretty cool little unit. I'll play around with it some more and make a demo at some point. It's fun.
Cool. I just remembered while you were speaking, I have to do a demo for this, and I've had it for like 2 weeks. I don't know what my problem is. Anyway, I had The Barbershop by Fairfield Circuitry. And Fairfield Circuitry is a Canadian company. And they make these cool pedals that have no paint on them, but they've got like the information on the pedal, like stamped into the case.
Oh, interesting.
And that's filled with an ink. So it's just, they must be doing it by hand or with some machine that makes it look by hand, because it clearly appears to be something where they set each letter and then hit it with a hammer.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're all, it's really, kind of looks like a typewriter in that each letter is like a little bit, they're not on the same baseline, you know? So this is an overdrive, kind of. It's like a preamp for your amp. And what I found that this does is it sets your amp to the edge of breakup without blowing the roof off the place. It sounds just like my AC30. Like plugging it into the AC30 set clean, this pedal sets it to the edge of breakup very convincingly.
So it makes your amp sound like it's louder than it is.
It makes this amp sound like it sounds when it's actually breaking up. And I tried it on my Fender and the Valve Junior, and it really just is super transparent and really clear. The AC30 is a single channel amp.
Yeah.
So you can, but with a master volume. So you can blow up the tube stage and then bring the master down and get some nice natural amp distortion. Mm-hmm. But sometimes that's like still not really doable, especially if you want to be loud but want to be on the edge of breakup or something. This is like, this is truly an always on pedal. And lots of people, I was kind of reading into it, just leave it on the amp turned on at all times. And so many people do that. In fact, they now make this pedal without a foot switch. And it's just a little, it's just the same circuit, literally called the always on version, mm-hmm. that sits on top of your amp and just plugs right in. Three controls, the same three controls that are on this with no foot switch.
what's the tone switch for?
Okay, so yeah, three knobs, and this tone switch up is a three-way toggle. Mm-hmm. In the middle is just wide open, no tone shaping. Mm-hmm. And then it's a little bit darker on the right and even darker on the left. So it's kind of, okay. I found that when playing clean, I wanted it wide open, but playing with some other pedals and stuff, I might want it on the right-hand setting, which is just a little bit darker.
Yeah.
And I'm sure with different guitars, you might want it even darker still, or if you play through a very bright-sounding amp or something like that. Mm. It's very small, pretty simple controls, volume, drive, and sag. And this is kind of what gets interesting. I think the sag is like the real sleeper control here for what's... how it's able to achieve these really amp-like tones, because it's pretty much just sagging the voltage, and it gives you this really great subtle overdrive. You can crank this thing up. Like, I was playing it totally juiced, like completely maxed out, and it was still what I'd consider like barely a medium gain overdrive. There's really not a lot of... it's not a distortion pedal. It's not even really an overdrive pedal, but it's got a little bit of dirt in it if you just need to push an amp a little bit more. Huh, and so it sounds like really, really nice. I did leave it on for a long time of my playing, and it was very dynamic, very... it reacted well to pick attack and stuff, and I didn't really want to turn it off.
Yeah. So yeah, that sag knob, I'm looking at how they talk about it here. It is just resisting the voltage that's powering the amplifiers.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's well, the brown, right? The lower the sag, the browner the sound. That was the thing, right? It was whoever under voltaging or under biasing the tubes in his amp. Right? Mm-hmm. That was supposed to be the brown sound, right? Was this like they were distorting earlier than normal because of how they were being run at a lower voltage.
Right. Now, this is not a brown sound pedal, but...
No, but that's the effect.
That's the theory here, yeah.
Running the amplifiers at less than their, you know, optimum bias voltage.
So it's cool because I can play the AC30 at basement... levels, at bedroom levels, let's say, but turn this on and get that really awesome, jangly, responsive sound without it being crazy loud. So if you had a non-master volume amp, this would be great. Mm-hmm. Like my Fender, for example, or the Valve Junior. It's really great in those cases. It's super simple, pretty small operation here. And yeah, standard 9-volt in. It's above the jack. It's like on the side, but it's above the jack, so that's fine with me.
It's okay.
It sounds really good. It's 200 Canadian, which is like 150 something US right now. It's a good deal.
Yeah, man. They're really, I mean, that's what it's, what the goal of this, I guess, is to put whatever amp, whatever circuit you're using into that responsive spot, right into that zone where it's going to be the most responsive to the dynamics of your playing. Yeah.
So if you need more out of it, you can play more out of it. But if you need it to cool off, you can just back off on your
volume
playing.
Like that's, compensator and amp level compensator. This is pretty neat.
Yeah. This is a cool pedal. I think you'd enjoy this.
I would. I can tell.
The always on version is much, much smaller, of course.
Is it cheaper?
Yeah. It is.
Just have one of those around, man.
170 Canadian. What is that in US? $129.
Yep. Pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
Well, I'll call him up when I find $129 on the ground.
I don't see a three-way tone switch on this one. But
who cares?
Oh, there's an internal jumper. Okay.
Boom. Oh, always on. They meant it.
Yeah, there's no LED either.
Should just be trim pot. Oh, yeah. You put the LED in the thing.
Always on, never off. This is serious.
Should have had an LED that was just always on. I'm going to get one of those and call up their support line. Hey.
My LED turned off. LED.
It's not lighting up.
Fairfield Circuitry makes some really cool pedals. This thing's no slouch. I would check it out if you're kind of looking for something that might be like the kind of secret ingredient.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, anyway.
The accountant is their compressor.
Their analog delay is called Meat Mod.
Randy's Revenge is a ring modulator.
Four Eyes crossover fuzz. Operator. Feedback loop. Exclamation point, question mark.
The unpleasant surprise is an experimental fuzz / gate.
What a great name. I like the enclosures they're using, too. They're kind of like standard pedal enclosures, but they turn them the other way and put the jacks in different places. It's kind of cool. Unpleasant surprise. Cool. Anyway, thanks to Pedal Genie, as always, for sponsoring the Tone Control.
Oh, and, yes. Thank you so much.
You sounded super sarcastic right there.
Yeah, well.
Hey, speaking of brown sound, look what I got. We posted this on the Facebook a little while ago.
Oh, the Mad Professor?
Yeah, the Mad Professor number one. I went to our local guitar shop, the Manchester Music Mill, which has moved and is humongous now. And they moved like 80 feet down the road. And it's in this giant shop, and they've got really great gear and are kicking ass. And I don't know why it took me this long to go over there. But Beth was out for the day, and I was like, I'm going to go to a guitar store.
I'm going to go spend some money.
I'm going to go to a guitar store. So I threw a couple of pedals in the car that I wasn't using, and I had kind of entertained the idea of getting rid of, either selling or trading. And I traded for this guy. I traded my Fuzz Face and my old Boss Phaser.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's a good buy.
Yeah. And this thing is, it's a brown sound pedal. And what that means is, like we were just saying, the brown sound kind of famously made famous by...
the brown sound was famously made famous by a famous person.
By the famous Eddie Van Halen. And holy cow, does this pedal rip. It is just... Whoa. It is going. And what's cool about this is there's reverb on it.
Oh.
This is an amp in a box with reverb on it. And it is just a screaming... like Marshall or 70s, 80s arena rock sounding thing that is so fun to play. Huh. It's just, it's like really, I just want to play fast and like play crazy licks and tap and pinch harmonics. The pinch harmonics on this thing just screech through the night. They're so good.
Cool.
Yeah. Reverb, brown. There's a brown control.
Yeah. There would be
presence,
right?
Presence and level. And between the brown and the presence control, you get a lot of cool sounds. Presence is like an overall brightness all the way up is very, very bright.
Mm-hmm.
And the brown, just the more you dial it up, kind of the, it gets more of that like Marshall-y, little bit of scoop, but like it's still really thick and throaty.
Mm-hmm.
And it just depends on like how absurd you want to sound.
I like those tones, you know?
Oh, it sounds really, it's good. It's a lot of fun. I'll demo this too. How about that?
Yeah. Do them together.
Maybe I'll demo them together. Oh. So it's called the number one by Mad Professor, and it's brown. It's got a knob that says brown on it, and reverb. It's got like this cool hall reverb on it, which is kind of neat.
Pretty nice. Yeah. You know, you don't sound like arena rock without reverb.
Without some reverb, yeah. It's just, it's the way to be.
That's the truth.
Anyway, yeah, I traded that plus $10 and got this pedal, so it was a good way to go. And I figure if, you know, it ends up not really being for me, which is... you know, could happen in a couple of years. I can trade up again plus $10 and get something better. Yeah. On my way to a Strymon, baby.
You can get one of the little Strymans, trade that sucker up to a big Stryman.
Yeah, trade that for like
a car,
a motorcycle. Yeah. Okay, moving on.
Very well. Hey, all right. Last but not least, as we threaten to run long.
Yeah.
This just in from IK Multimedia.
Yeah, circling back to the beginning of the show.
iDevices. iRig HD2. So this, I guess, is just going to be a second generation of something that we talked about some months ago, right? The kind of pro-level iOS interface, audio interface for guitarists.
Right. So iPhone, iPad, I think it'll work with other devices too.
Max.
I think it can just be USB even. But this one is iPhone 7 ready. And the device itself has a headphone jack because your phone doesn't.
Yeah.
And I saw this and I was like, oh, cool. And then I realized my audio interface that I use for this podcast does not have a headphone out on it.
Right. Because it's relying on the phone.
Yeah. So if I, you know, I'm not getting a new phone this year, but if I next year get a new phone, I will also be getting a new audio interface. Mm. And maybe I'll get this one. I don't know. But so this has, it plugs in to the Lightning connector, as many of them do. But I guess the iRig stuff would always use the headphone jack, actually, for many years.
Yeah. And it that's had like a not splitter. Ideal.
Yeah.
That's not like a quality way in and out.
You're right.
Kind of thing, so.
So now they're using the Lightning connector, which is pretty solid, and it's got a headphone out, so you can send it to headphones or monitors or whatever. This one's got a bunch of cool added features, though, including an FX mode that lets you use your device as a pedal board. So this has a through jack on it. So you can send this, you can do all your signal processing on your phone or your tablet, and then send that out to a cab.
Yeah, so you've got a guitar in, and then there's another jack next to it with a picture of a half stack on it, and that mm-hmm. goes out to your amp. So, it'll do real-time effects processing as well as, you know, recording and other
things. Because that was always the thing. Like, this has sort of been, signal processing on devices like this has been a thing for a while, and there's lots of solutions out there. Some people are making Bluetooth pedal boards to signal the changes. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of other options, but it's always been a little like, do I want to have my tablet like the thing that my guitar rig is, you know?
Yeah.
But now you can kind of have a little bit of both. So if you need, you know, you can have an amp on stage to have the stage volume, but still have these fully programmed signals
you're using it right as the for the built-in stomp box effects rather than for the amp simulator.
Right, right. And it's got a little LED on it that notifies you of clipping. It's got a little actual clip on it to clip to stuff like mic stands. Pretty cool stuff,
signal
man.
Level indicator. So, so you can belt clip.
Yep.
Belt clip on it. And
if you want to be a total nerd, you can do that. It comes with Amplitube 4 for Mac and PC. It also includes Amplitube for iOS, which is a free app, but, you know, you'll get that and...
Does it come with any of the, because the Amplitube for iOS is like a, comes with, it's kind of like a basic framework and then you buy add-ons.
Positive Grid stuff's the same way. Unlocks the full version features and gear of Amplitube for iOS.
It says. Oh, there you go. So when you buy it, you get the full unlock. Cool.
That's very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. What do we miss in these bullets? Powered by requires no external power.
Mm-hmm.
So it's also gonna eat your battery.
You're right. So the same problem exists. You can't charge your phone and run your guitar signal at the same time.
I get a big eye roll for anybody who's complaining about the missing headphone jack. Sorry, I don't think your priorities are in the right place. If you think that's a real issue, you're welcome to not buy a new phone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Everything plus every new device is coming with a headphone split out on it. Like, there's going to be a cable that'll charge.
Yeah. So this tomorrow, this all happened, like we're sidebarring into this right now, by the way. When this all happened, I was like, oh man, okay. Like, isn't the rumors and stuff? And
they've been trying. I think they leaked that out into the rumors years and years ago. They were trying to get rid of that headphone jack. It's one of the things that was keeping them from fitting other stuff into that case.
Sure.
They wanted to get rid of it.
Yeah. So, and when they introduced Lightning, that was like a full audio video power connector.
Yep.
So anyway, I was thinking like, how often, where do I use my headphone jack the most? And the answer was my car. And
so like aux cable.
Yeah. For sometimes if we're going on long trips, I'll run the GPS through that while we listen to music or just listening to music and podcasts, things like that. And that was pretty much it. If I'm at the gym and I'm listening to headphones, I'm not charging it. I'm at the gym.
Yeah. So what you're saying is in the car is the only place where you're charging it and using the audio out.
Right. That's the only time. And then I was like, oh, bummer. If I got a new phone, I couldn't do that. But then it was like, well, that's this car.
Yeah.
And this car isn't going to be with me for probably much longer, a few years maybe. Mm-hmm. And even then, all the cars we're looking at now and certainly down the road are going to have some USB in anyway that will handle charging and audio.
My Ford and my wife's Honda have USB. That's how we do it.
Yeah. If my car had that, I would certainly be doing it.
And you'll be able to get a cable for $9.
Yeah.
That'll split it out. So it's not a big deal.
Yeah. I mean, the times that I use the headphone jack right now are occasionally in the car. And I guess that's it. It's in the car. It's for doing the demos for this show.
Yeah.
Which is, once every couple of weeks. And that's kind of it. Anyway, don't be butthurt. Get a different phone. No one cares what phone you use except you.
Mm-hmm.
Or no one should care, I guess,
Apple's
is what I should say.
Apple's still selling their old phones. Like, they have that one that's still little. The SE or whatever it's called that nobody wants. Right. Like, you could be one of those people who wants the phone nobody wants. Who cares? It's a good phone.
Yeah.
The point is, you could get any of these phones and run friggin' Amplitude 4 or whatever it is and have awesome sounding guitar stomp box stuff and be able to like record your ideas in your, on a bus.
On a
while
device,
while you're traveling somewhere to see some mountains. Go see some mountains and stop worrying about headphone jacks. Get out there. See the mountains. I don't know where this mountain stuff came from, Derek.
Doesn't matter. You're right.
I'm right? Okay. Well, you know what? I'm not going to apologize.
Don't.
I don't apologize.
Don't.
I won't.
Good.
I'm not.
Don't.
I'm not.
Whatever. I mean, whatever.
Okay. Well, that's stupid.
Every time the new iPhone comes out, I always, just days before, think, I'm glad we're finally over this other people caring what phone I use problem.
Nope.
And then I'm so wrong.
Facebook falls on you like a brick.
Yeah, I can't even just like...
This little adapter, by the way, was in the box.
Yeah, it looks good. Seems to work.
Oh, man, it just worked. Oh, my God. It also comes with those stupid... You know what I do have a problem with? Those stupid ear pods they've been using for years now. Those don't fit in my ears.
So I feel like everyone I know says that, and they fit in my ears. I'm apparently the only person I know whose ears those fit in.
Not the only one, because, I mean, they're still using them, but I put them in, it sounds like I can't hear anything below, like, 400 hertz. Like,
see, for me, like, I put those in, and I was like, hey, nice.
They're supposed to be awesome.
Oh, I think they're great.
I'm and, super like,
they're
bummed
the
that
perfect
I can't
situation.
Use them.
They're a million times better than the old ones.
Yeah.
They're good.
They sound like I'm listening to my audio on a telephone. For me, because it doesn't go far enough into my ear. Like, my ear blocks one of the ports, or because they have those, like, multiple ports. Yeah. It's not just one speaker opening, and it's probably awesome. But in my ear, like, I keep thinking, like, I had it in upside down or something, but it's just not the case. My ears are small.
Tiny ears.
I have tiny ear canals. That's always been... It
has been a thing. You have to use the child's size earplugs.
My baby and I, we use the same earplugs.
Awesome. Okay.
Not at the same time.
How many listeners do you think we just lost in this?
I think we gained 4.
This rampage of like, yeah, I use iPhone. Suck it.
Oh, that? Yeah. No, you're right. Probably half of them. Half of them were like, I think 25% were like, Apple's evil, and they quit listening. And then another 25% were like, I don't think Apple's evil, but I think these guys are dill holes for talking about it for this long, so I'm leaving.
True.
50% of our listenership is gone.
Mm-hmm. Well, the remaining three I'm glad you're still here.
Glad you're still here. Hey, that's the end of our show, if I'm not mistaken. So if you're still listening, God help you.
Mostly that.
To all the components out there in the tone control circuit, thanks for listening, and fuck off.
You know, if there was any episode to really throw that in there, it was this one.
That's what I thought.